Hello.
Hey, is that Thomas?
Yeah, this is Thomas. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Great. I'm just going to dive in straight away, if that's okay. You're over in Australia. Whereabouts?
I'm in Melbourne. I'm living in St Kilda in Melbourne.
And tell us how you've come to create a show that you're bringing to the Brighton Fringe.
Well, it's been a long time, a long process. I've made this show originally as a one-person show and then as a two-person show, and then we kept working on it. We had a third person in the show, and we performed the show in the Western Australian Circus Festival, and we met a person there who put us in touch with the producer of the Spiegel Tent, and we was all from there.
And I'm hearing that three acrobatic and enthusiastic scientists attempt to create the elixir of life. How did that come into being? And tell us about it.
Well, it's a narrative circus story, and that's basically the premise. It's three scientists who attempt to create the elixir of life, and they're working for a pharmaceutical company. Basically, they have to test the concoctions on themselves, and the physiological reactions that they have to the medicine is portrayed through circus acts.
And so how do you build in, you know, a bit of theatre narrative to acrobatics? What comes first? Do you form the storyline and then add in the acrobatics, or do you play with it all in parallel?
Yeah, it's mostly not in parallel. It's a very organic process. We constantly are brainstorming ideas for different story arcs and how that could be portrayed with circus. So we've got our skills, we've got our tools, our circus acts, and the acts are shaped by the narrative, and the narrative is also very much shaped by the acts.
And does that ever make it onto a script, or is that just something that stays in your heads?
It makes it onto a storyboard. So we've written out the show multiple times, and we've drawn the show in different story arcs, and it also stays in our heads quite a lot, because we often, when we're creating and we don't write it down enough, we get confused and that kind of thing, because there's a bit of time loop involved with the story as well.
And of course there's comedy at the heart of this, so you have to build that in as well. I mean, how do you test out what's going to make people laugh?
Well, with comedy, you know, there's always a natural, you've got a knack for it, or you don't really. If you're not funny, you're not going to be funny. So we've got a really good clown, the third guy in our show. He's specialised in clown at circus school, and he is very talented slapstick comedian. So he helps us out with a lot of the jokes, and a lot of the twists and turns in the story are unexpected and are expressed in a comical way. I don't want to give too much away, but yeah.
And so what does the acrobatic element give you in terms of comedy that you couldn't achieve just with your feet on the ground?
Oh, well, you know, it's always funnier to watch someone do a flip and land on their face than it is to just watch them fall over.
And in terms of your development as a company, I mean, I've seen a lot of acrobatic and circus stuff in Edinburgh particularly, and I know there's a big scene out of circus and stuff out in Australia. They all seem to end up in a really good place around trying to combine theatre and story as well as, you know, just the circus tricks. Is that kind of a development of your company as well?
Yeah, that's one of our main focuses as a company, is to create truly narrative circus. I think we're filling a bit of a space in that most of the circus that's around that has a narrative element is very thin. So the circus that you see is often like it's held together by a theme, but there's no true story arc or conclusion, beginning, middle, and end. It's a lot of it's up for interpretation, which is great, because it can be a different experience for everyone. But also, I feel like there's room for a truly immersive circus story that plays out like a movie and has the same kind of engrossing feel that a movie could have.
And for people over here in Brighton who may not know, I mean, the circus scene is big in Australia. Can you give us kind of just a bit of a description of what the scene is like out there?
Oh, the circus scene is getting bigger all the time, thanks to the National Institute of Circus Arts, which is located here in Melbourne. It's churning out great circus performers every year to make the scene bigger and brighter. There's amazing circus festivals going on in Tasmania and Western Australia, and there's one now in Mullumbimby. I'm not so sure whether people in Brighton would know where that is, but it's on the coast, of the east coast of Australia. So there's lots of talent here in Australia, and it's always growing. There's a real sense of excitement amongst circus performers that Australia is like just, you know, coming into its own in the circus world. And although we circus has been around in Australia for a long time, and Australians help pioneer what is considered new circus or circus without animals, we still feel that we're still coming into our own, and that the skill level's getting higher, and we're more competitive now in an international market.
And how did it come into being? I mean, the history of it. Why is circus so big in Australia?
Oh, well, there was a thing called the Nanjing Project, which is a cultural exchange between Australia and China. And basically, that went on in a small town called Albury Wodonga. And the Chinese people sent acrobats to Australia over a decade. So it happened twice. And basically, that was the beginning of a sort of a circus revolution in Australia, really. And from that cultural exchange, a lot of Australians learnt some Chinese methods of training, and that started really improving acrobatics in Australia. And from that, we got the National Institute of Circus Arts, Mr. Guangrong Lu. He co-founded the National Institute of Circus Arts with Pam Creed, and now we've got international level artists graduating at 20 or so performers a year.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a long history arc to get to the point we are at now.
Yeah. And in terms of you touring round, I mean, I guess every performance space is different. When you arrive at the Bosco in Brighton, which is a very unique space, you know, part of that of the Spiegel tent kind of platform that's provided in Brighton, but that's, it's kind of quite high, you know, rake of seating, and then quite a small stage, really, different from other places you might have played. How do you guys claim that space?
We're really excited to be in a place with raked seating, and from what I've seen of the Bosco Spiegel tent, it looks beautiful. We've played in a couple of Spiegel tents before, and I'm very excited because the rake seating, it goes a long way to making sure that the audience can see every minute detail that you do on the floor. So I feel that the audiences in the Bosco will get a really good experience of our show Elixir. Also, the closeness, we've performed in a Spiegel tent called the Ukiyo in Adelaide Fringe, and it was really great. And it was a small space, and we were right up close and sweaty. We were right in front of the audience, like 1 foot away. It was amazing. It really gives a sense of intensity, and they really feel like they're a part of it. And yeah, I'm very excited to be performing there.
And what do you do when you first step in a new space? Do you all walk around very tentatively? Do you close your eyes? How do you actually, you know, feel your way into it?
We try to contain our excitement, as we generally, yeah, we're just balls of energy when we first arrive. But yeah, we try to assess, you know, walk in, see how much space we got, set up all our equipment, that's part one, make sure that everything fits safely, try not to do anything silly before, you know, you've spaced everything out, make sure that no matter what, all the acts can be performed without hitting the walls and that kind of thing, and check that there's enough height because we jump very high in the show, check everything, make sure it's all safe and perfect, and then we can calm down a little bit and set everything up and start rehearsing.
It sounds really exciting. It's called Elixir from Head First Acrobats. Final question to you, Thomas, then, without giving anything away, just give us a flavour of the show. What are the kind of the highlights of it for you?
Oh, that's a good question. If I was to say the flavour of the show, if you could imagine Cirque du Soleil meets the zombie apocalypse, with a little bit of stripping and burlesque, then you'd be somewhere along to the flavour of the show.
That sounds really exciting. Thomas, thanks very much indeed.